Let's start with the manual.
Yeah. Again, we've talked about today the several student needs and student services budgets cuts that SFU is doing. Of course, you could talk about that, but the real question is, what are we gonna do about it at the SFSS? And I think that's what my platform is about. It's about the student. It's about speaking for students of diverse groups. It's about consultation with groups and working with those groups to ensure that every single student's needs are met. And are well advocated for. So this upcoming election, I encourage you to take an informed decision, check the results, check the platform, see what people have done in the past. It's no surprise, it's no news to anyone that the SFSS needs work, and it needs radical transformation. And I think you look at just check the track record, check people that have been able to do that with other organizations. To transform things from the bottom straight to the top. So I think that's something you should consider when you vote. So I highly encourage you in this upcoming election from the 26th through the 29th to vote for me to be your next SFSS president, because voting yes for me is voting yes to student engagement. It's voting yes to constituency groups and affiliated groups being integrated into decision-making processes. It's saying yes to your voice being heard. It's your voice to your voice being advocated for. So once again, my name is Emmanuel, and I strongly encourage you to vote for me to be your next SFSS president.
Thank you, Emmanuel. I'll turn it over to Adriana now.
Yeah. I've been hearing you. You're tired. You're frustrated. There was the strike last semester. There was the threat of the bus strike this semester. There was weather delays. And the university has continually not provided you anything. And neither has the SFSS. At a certain point, you felt like you need to stop caring. What I want to give you, and what I want to give every student, is the opportunity to feel their anger about the situation that they're forced to be in, and from that, their hope. I've shown to you some of the issues that we're facing down. A lot of them are really bad and really, really dire. But I think right now, there is a chance to change things. There is a chance to fight. And in my capacity as president, it's not my role to tell you what to care about and what to fight for. It is my role to walk up to each and every one of you and hand you a megaphone and say, you can do this. I'm behind you. The resources of this massive institution here to protect you and do what's right is with you. And if that's something that you feel is needed at this institution, a overwhelming, massive change to what has long been a stagnant body doing nothing, then I hope you vote for me for president. A vote for change, a vote for things mattering, a vote for something new.
Thank you, Adriana and Emmanuel. Thanks for coming in today and speaking to you. What you will do if you are nominated for president of SFSS.
How can, just very, very quickly, how can people reach out to you if they have questions? Do you have a website or email?
Yeah, the best way would be through our my social media platforms, because it's what people use these days and it's very accessible to myself. So you could find me on Instagram or Twitter, and it's ADEGB13. That's at ADEGB13. And then, of course, you could also send me an email. My email is EOA11 at SFU.ca. That's EOA11 at SFU.ca. And you could find all my platforms on my social platforms, which is, again, ADEGB13. Thank you.
For myself, Emmanuel is right with the brief gaffe of saying our social media platforms are definitely the best way to go. You can find me at Adriana for SFSS on both Instagram as well as Reddit. As well, if you go and ask someone in DNA out on campus, involve the TSSU, if you just ask around for me, you'll find someone who knows me and can ask where I am.
No, I was just going to say thanks for joining us today. And elections are the 26th to the 29th through your SFU email account. Yep. And I'm sure the SFSS will be sending out lots of information between now and then. Go ahead.
Last thing, debates are this Thursday. Please come on out Thursday, 5:30 p.m. It's going to be packed. We have 30 candidates. Just come on out and just hear what each person has to offer so that you can make an informed decision. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Just as a last thing, due to the SFU mail account changing hosting, which I'm sure everyone's seen, the SFSS has indicated, like the staff have indicated, there's a chance that not everyone in the mailing list will receive an email. If the 26th rolls around and you see no link, go to the front desk of the sub. They can help you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Craig, for guiding this discussion. Our candidates for SFSS president. It's really important because the SFSS.
I was trying to say it too.
Sometimes you get lost in it. Which letter am I? The SFSS spends a lot of money for student money and has does a lot of things and has the potential to make a huge difference in your university experience. So it's important to listen to candidates like these two here. Choose someone who's going to do something for you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
American robins begin piping up in late winter and then sing all through spring and summer. Sometimes, well, into fall, too. One way to remember their song's pattern is with the words cheerily, cheer up, cheer up. Cheerily, cheer up. The Baltimore Oriole has a pretty similar song. At first, you might think there's no way to tell these two cheery, upbeat singers apart. But there are a couple of differences. The robin has that whole sentence to say. Cheerily, cheer up, cheer up, cheerily, cheer up. In contrast, the oriole usually stops after a phrase or two. After a while, you might start to hear more subtle distinctions. Baltimore Orioles sound sweeter, more melodic than American robins, who can come across a little screechy at times. Once more, here's the long-winded robin. And the short and sweet oriole. Listen for these sweet singers wherever you get your bird song. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is brought to you in memory of longtime Bird Note fan and supporter Philip Stoller, and with thanks to his family for their support.
Ayu Sakamoto is joining us in the studio now. Ayu, you have an interview for us.
Okay. Oh. Sorry.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. And today I want to introduce Loreto Armendi, an international organist from Spain, and she'll be performing in Vancouver soon. So Loreto is known for her incredible skills and has given recitals all over the world. And so let me tell you about her upcoming concert and one workshop next week. So on Friday, February 16 at 7:30 p.m., she'll be having a concert at St. James Church in Vancouver. Then on Saturday, February 17 at 10:30 a.m., she'll be hosting a workshop at the same church and talk about organs and how they produce different sounds. On the same day, February 17 at 3 p.m., she'll be having another concert at Maranatha Canadian Reformed Church in Surrey. So don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. So let's move on to the interview. Hello, Loreto. Thank you for coming today. I'm so glad to have you here. And before we dive into the details, could you tell us a bit about your background and how you got started as an organist?
Hello. Hello. Very nice. It's really nice to meet you and very happy to be here in this interview.
Yes.
Asking your question. When I was a child, I remember myself asking all time to my parents that, yeah, I wanted to be a musician and I wanted to play the piano. And wow. They couldn't understand very well at the beginning because there is not any musician in my family.
Mm.
But I was telling that it was my dream every single day, or every day.
Wow.
Finally, they bought me a little organ, electronic organ, very tiny little organ. So I began like that, my studies. And then I grew up, I went to the conservatory in my city, in San Sebastian, and then I went a little bit, I want to study also to Paris and to Lyon. That's my beginning.
Wow, so at first your parents didn't allow you to play the piano. You wanted to start learning piano, but you got the tiny organ and...
It was like complicated for them to understand, but then they were agreed. Once they were agreed, it was okay for everyone. But as I was very little, they didn't understand very well what I was asking for and why.
I see, but that's nice too. Yeah, you started learning organ and. Wow, sounds cool. And so, what inspired you to pursue a career in music, specifically as an organist? So why did you decide?
It's a little bit strange as well. When I was really little, I used to go to the church with my grandmother every Sunday.
Every
Sunday, and I could hear the sounds of an instrument that I didn't know, and I was fascinated with these sounds, and I thought at first that it was a piano, but no, it was. I didn't know anything about music, but I was hearing the organ, and that's how I started to think about playing that instrument, so. Finally, it was very clear in my mind that I wanted to learn this instrument. And then when I grew up, I began with the piano at first. And then when I was 18, my family was like afraid of my future. And they told me to inscribe in a university. So I was inscribed for doing medicine. Because I like that. But in the moment that I have to choose between medicine and music, I thought that I couldn't live without music. So finally, I went to the music, and then they helped me a lot, and that's a little bit the way.
Wow, that sounds so nice. I also like the sound of organ. I don't usually go to church, but sometimes I go to church, or also I was in choir before, so that's why sometimes I hear the sound of organ, and I feel you, and that's nice. Good, it was a good decision for you, like you decided to go to the music.
It was very, very clear in my mind, but at three, when I was three perhaps, or four, I wanted to do music, and I wanted, so finally I'm very happy to do that.
Oh, wow, nice. So have you always been drawn to the organ, or did you explore other instruments as well? Like you said that you wanted to learn playing the piano, but... Did you learn playing the piano or no, just organ?
No, I began with the piano lots of years, and then also with the harpsichord.
Oh.
And then I began later with the organ, early. When I finished my piano career and my harpsichord career, I began there with the organ, yes.
Oh, wow. So do you also play other instruments? Or like guitar or something.
I began a little bit with the violin.
Oh, wow.
During 4 years.
Oh, wow.
But it was horrible. It was so...
Really?
I couldn't play it. It was terrible my neighbors and for all the persons near me. So I stopped playing just for 4 years, and then I stopped.
Oh,
and I would like very much to learn carillon. I don't know why I like very, very much the carillon, and one day I think I will learn a little bit of this instrument as well.
Wow, nice.
But not nothing else.
Yeah. Wow, so you play so many instruments. So what's your favorite thing about playing the organ? What's the favorite thing?
I must say that I like very much the dates of preparation before a concert, spending time with the instrument and trying to know each other and trying to be friends. And it's incredible to spend a few days alone in the silence with the instrument, with the register, with the music. And I love also very much playing at night when everything's calm and there's a silence of the night. And it's like very special. And you can concentrate really well. And I think it's a really great experience. And I like very much also the organ because each organ is really different. Each church is different. Each music hall is different. And also with the concerts, you can travel and you can introduce yourself in different cultures and places and different people. And it's like magic, everything, the mix of everything.
Wow. So you said that each organ is very different, and it means organ itself is different, or the sound is different, like the structure of organ is different.
Yes, each organ, the structure, the keyboard, the stops, and even of the same constructor, you have different organs with different sounds because the acoustic also in the places is different. So each time is just discovering something new, and I love this point of view of an organ.
Oh, wow. So you always experience new things when you go to when you play with different organ.
Yes.
Wow, so cool.
Yes.
So I also read on your website and that you had a concert in Japan in 2019. So as someone from Japan, I'm personally curious about this. So what kind of memories do you have, and how was the concert in Japan?
It was really fantastic, like a dream. Indeed, I've been twice, in 2017 and in 2019.
Wow.
Twice to Japan to play. Yes, in the Opera City Hall and in the Okutopia and Tsukuba and Sendai. But it was just incredible. I just felt in love with this country. People were really kind and helpful, even if our cultures are so different. And it was a great experience. And also I can't fit the food. It was fantastic as well. And I was traveling with my two daughters, and I think they will never forget this experience. And also for the concerts and for the halls, everything was very well organized and people were very, very kind and just a world. And I appreciate and I like it very, very, very much. I hope I will return one day. That's one of my dreams.
I hope so. And I'm so glad to hear that. And do you have any, what's your favorite Japanese food? Can I ask you?
Everything. I can eat everything. I wanted to taste every single food. And I was lucky because I have also some friends. I studied with some Japanese friends in Lyon. Mm-hmm. So they were also with me and they introduced me to the food and the culture. And we were in a traditional home with the traditional ways of life. And it was incredible.
So you had a good experience in Japan. I'm so happy to hear that.
Very, very, very good.
So the next, I want to ask you about the concert, upcoming concert in Vancouver. And so you have maybe two concerts, each in Surrey and Vancouver. And you also have a workshop. So could you share some details about the music you'll be playing at the concert and what inspired you to select these particular composers and their pieces?
Yes, I will play mostly transcriptions for orchestra and piano, but also some baroque pieces and some modern pieces like Messiaen. I like very much presenting different styles in each of my concerts, so the audience could be able to listen to the different combinations of stops depending to the style, each organ, and show all the possibilities of the instruments. So I try to variate my program and some more slow pieces, more allegro or presto pieces, and baroque transcriptions, modern, a little bit of everything.
So nice. So we can experience, the audience can experience so many different music, like various kinds of music.
Yes.
Wow, so cool.
Yes, I like to do that. I think it's great for them to have different sounds for different styles.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I also like baroque music, but also like modern music. So I'm so excited.
Yes. Yes.
And which pieces are you most excited to perform? Which is your favorite pieces?
It's difficult to have an answer for that because I love everything. But I like now, this moment of my career, I like very much playing transcriptions. My organ teacher in Lyon, Louis Robert, he's a specialist on, he have written lots of transcriptions for orchestra or piano to the organ. And I like very much playing the type of music because it's more than listening an organ. It's like you have all the orchestra with you, with different colors and different instruments. And it's like the music from the orchestra in the organ. And the organ is an orchestra, finally. You can choose the trumpets or violins and clarinets, everything. So I think it's less just another dimension for the organ, and it's very nice and very interesting.
Wow, sounds so cool. I'm already excited to listen to your music. Wow, so cool. You also had a concert in Vancouver last year, so at St. James Church, right? So what memories do you have of the concert?
Very good memories.
I must say
thank you very, very much to PG, the organist that invited me. And there was plenty of people in the concert and really very, very kind. And we did a little interview before the concert, and then I was able to speak to all the audience. So a great experience. That's why I'm coming again.
So happy. You came here last year and this year too. So
yes
that's nice. And
very nice.
So how do you prepare for a performance like on the historical organ, like the one at St. James Church in Vancouver? Like, are there any challenges or considerations?
Yes, I must say that I'm very lucky because at home I have plenty of historical instruments like Caballé Coll or Stolz. So I used to rehearsal and play my program before the concerts, like in Vancouver, in different instruments near my house. And so that inspires me a lot. I can try to find and imagine different ways of registration and different ways of playing the pieces, depending of the different the acoustic or each place and each organ. And that's how I prepare a little bit these concerts and be a friend as with an historical instrument.
Wow, so nice. So you have an environment that you can get used to historic instruments.
Yes.
Near your house. Wow. So you can prepare.
Yes. And I know because each instrument is, even if it's Caballé Coll or Casavant, imagine, they do some organs, but each organ it's really different one for the other. And it's like in a family, you have daughters, imagine two daughters, but they're, even if they are in the same family, they're really different and their character is different. And it's the same with people and with the organs. So that's why I play in different historical instruments before playing, for example, now in the Casaban in Vancouver.
And you always enjoy playing the different organ and you do experience the new things, like you will have a new perspective or, oh, that this organ yes. is different. Wow.
Yes, that's why I changed the organs, because each organ, it has lots of things to say, and you have to discover these things. Yeah. And it's a different experience in each instrument. Mm-hmm. So more experience you have, more you can be calm and friend with an instrument, with an instrument.
Wow,
yes.
So nice. So, yeah, you have two concerts, but you also have a workshop in Vancouver. So what can participants look forward to gaining or learning from attending your workshop?
I think we learn a lot listening to other musicians. Mm-hmm. Each one has their own taste and their own way of playing or approaching a piece on the organ. So I learn a lot always to my colleagues or to my friends or to my teachers. So I hope that the participants will feel the same as me and they will enjoy how I play, even if it will be different from their way of playing, but just learn a different way of approaching the instrument. Mm-hmm. So I hope they will enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a wonderful experience for the participants. Because I think usually people are more familiar with pianos or like other instruments, but I don't think many people are familiar with organ. So they must be interested, curious about how it works and different
sound
of organ.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that it's going to be
really
wonderful.
We're used to piano, but not so much to the organ. But the good thing is that in this concert, for example, we have a screen and we could see the organist, how it play, how it change the stops. So I think it's a pity, because if more people could know this instrument, it will be much more, much more known. Sorry about my English.
People
will know more this instrument, and people will come more to know. It's an incredible instrument. You have an orchestra in your fingers, so
it's gonna be so nice opportunity to learn the organ and the sound of organ. Nice. So thank you so much for sharing your insight with us today, Loreto. And we are really looking forward to your concert and workshop. So wishing you all the best. Thank you so much today.
Thank you very, very much.
So, oh my God.
Oh dear, why do your headphones keep coming unplugged?
Sorry. thank you for listening. It was an interview with Loreto Armendi, international organist from Spain. So just let you know that there will be two concerts and workshops this weekend in Vancouver and Surrey. So don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks so much for that interview, Aya Sakamoto. Peter, we have run out of time in this episode for
I'm
your
coming
talk.
Coming Tuesday, according to you.
Yeah, we're coming. Peter's going to be back tomorrow.
Can I talk about Karen Hudis, who was fired from the World Bank 2000?
Is that what you're going to be talking about tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
And I actually...
We only got 10 seconds.
Well, anyway, so I found it I delayed because it was pretty complicated. She actually died in October 2022. I was actually hoping to meet her, bring her to the station, but she died. And
all right.
But I'm going to bring the story. I think this, even though she died, the story background on her, I think, is important.
Excellent. And that's tomorrow on Speak Up. Thanks to our SFSS candidates, Emmanuel Adeboyega and Adriana Cumming, teacher, who were on the program. We tried to speak to Ashley Flett and Thomas Luce, but they couldn't make it. Maybe they'll be on before.
Hi,